If you'll stand, we'll invite you to turn to John chapter 3 as we hear the word of God this morning. This is a very familiar story. Sometimes it's so familiar that we just kind of skip it. But we're not going to skip it this morning because Jesus is addressed by a Pharisee of Pharisees, Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." This is the word of the Lord. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it in their hearts. Please be seated. Well, those of us who have been fortunate enough have seen the miracle of a caterpillar crawling up on the branch of a tree and crafting a homespun cocoon. And the forces of nature on one day begin to work, and we begin to see the changes that take place as the caterpillar comes out of the cocoon, and the caterpillar is no more. The skin is split open, and out of that cocoon emerges a fragile, beautiful monarch butterfly. And that butterfly is equipped to move in the spring breezes and go to flowers that the caterpillar was not able to do, because now the butterfly has a proboscis. It has a long snout, a long nose. It can not only go to the flower, but it can reach into the middle of the flower and it can pull out the nectar. The new order of spring has demanded that the caterpillar change form in order to be ready for the demands and the needs that it is going to face to survive. Those of us that have taken biology know that this is called metamorphosis. And broken down, it simply means to change form. That's exactly the concept that Jesus introduced when he came out of the wilderness experience into Galilee, and he said, repent, change your way of thinking, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For the new order of the Spirit has arrived, and you need to make changes in order to experience it and live in it. Jesus was saying that we have to be equipped for the new spiritual order that he was instituting through his life, his death, and his resurrection. That little caterpillar, if it remains a caterpillar, cannot get the nectar out of the flower. He can't even get into the flower. He's got to have wings. He's got to have a different nose. He's got to have a different form. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying to us. He says, I'm presenting you with a new order. It's a heavenly order. And you have got to have the equipment from God to enter into it. Jesus is calling each of us to be a different kind of person. In the words of our text, except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It didn't take people long to say, this is a unique message. And so the message of Jesus began to travel. And according to John, our Lord received a visitor one night named Nicodemus. So this could be called Nick at night. It was an unusual meeting because this was a man of the Sanhedrin. This was a man of the Supreme Court of the Jews. Nicodemus opens the conversation. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. Otherwise, how in the world could you perform all of these signs that you're performing unless God were with you? But the answer that Nicodemus received set him back. Jesus didn't go for the compliment. Instead, Jesus said to this Supreme Court Jewish leader, that's not the point. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's as if a young man gets out of seminary and gets into the pulpit and he's on fire and the church goes from 30 to 300. And one of the persons in the council come up to him and says, wow, nobody could be doing what you're doing without the power of God in them. And that young whippersnapper says, doesn't take the compliment, but says, that's not the point. The point is, have you been born again? That's the point. And honestly, it swept Nicodemus off of his feet. And pretty soon he found himself sitting down and listening to the greatest teacher of them all as he spoke of a subject that was made fascinating by its mystery to Nicodemus. The first thing that Jesus addresses with Nicodemus is the necessity of being born again. The necessity of being born again. The story is told of the artist Whistler. You know, he painted the painting Whistler's Mother. Once a friend came to him and wanted advice about hanging a painting that he got at an art show in his apartment in Paris. And he commented to Whistler that he could not make the painting fit the room. And Whistler said, you're beginning at the wrong end. You can't make the painting fit the room. You will have to make the room fit the painting. And that's a serious mistake that many Christians make. They try to make the painting fit the room. Here's the room of your life. Everything about you, all of the things that you believe, everything that's in your cocoon as your caterpillar, you brought it with you. And here's the painting of the Christian way of life. It's everything that Jesus said. It's the Beatitudes. It's how we live for Christ, how we die and live for Him. That's the room. Try hanging the painting of your life or the painting of the Christian way of life without changing the room. It's like wearing a shoe that doesn't fit your foot. It hurts. And the way out is not to cram the toes of your foot into the space of the shoe because it's too small. The only remedy is to get new shoes. Jesus is saying the only way for a person to wear the Christian life is not to jam the teachings of Jesus into a life that doesn't fit. It is to get a new life. It's not to try to make the painting fit the room. It's to make the room fit the painting. I wonder if the thing that makes Christ's way so hard in our lives doesn't come from the fact we are trying to do what He says without having first caught His Spirit. We're trying to make the painting fit the room. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. We all have inherited a bias toward evil. We all have inherited a sin nature. And no amount of dolling ourselves up and decking ourselves out with Christian principles and morals will suffice. How many Christians have tried praying, reading the Bible, going to church regularly, only to discover that you're going through the motions? You're just going through the motions until one day you catch the Spirit of Christ and something changes. And you invite Jesus to change your life so that your life is in concert with His teachings and His life in us. Nicodemus is getting the picture. The way of Christ does not come naturally for anyone. So Jesus says, the thing of which we speak is a necessity. You must be born again. And then Jesus goes on and speaks about not only the necessity, but the possibility. He says, that which is born of spirit is spirit. This is one of the things, the context of the passage, to know a little bit about Nicodemus. Like Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He knew the prophet Ezekiel's writings in 26:26. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. Nicodemus was not fighting the need for a change. But by Nicodemus's standards, it was a change to the letter of the law. As a Pharisee, what was important to Nicodemus was defining each law of Scripture and then following that law at all costs. So for Nicodemus, Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy meant defining all of the things that constituted work on the Sabbath that would keep you from being holy. It was a matter of life and death. That was Nicodemus's religion. That to Nicodemus was pleasing and serving God. Is it any wonder then that Nicodemus thought that the second birth was impractical? He was really stumped about this. He was skeptical that it was possible. So Nicodemus said to Jesus, "This rebirth about which you talk may be possible, but I can't understand how it happens and how it works. How in the world does a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" You see, the reason that Nicodemus was having problems with this is because the word for again, anothen, or it means above, has two meanings. It has two meanings. The one meaning that it has is again. But the other meaning that anothen has is from above. So Nicodemus is literally saying, how can I be born again? And if you ask me how that happens, if you ask me how a caterpillar can end up as a butterfly, if you ask me how someone can be going down the road of sin and evil and then all of a sudden, boom, like a flash, like the Apostle Paul, they receive God's truth, I have to tell you, I don't understand it. Because it's a work of God. If I did understand it, I probably would try to do it. I probably would try to reproduce what God has done. But I can't. I can't make something out of nothing. I can't make a person change their life, change their heart. But you see the evidence of it throughout history. And even you sitting in the pews today. I can't explain it. But I can share with you a picture of how I understand it in my mind. I had read this verse time after time, and I have to say it meant nothing to me, to be born again. I know what it means to the church. Are you born again? Did you have a salvific experience? Did you go from here to here? One-time experience, oh, good, I'm glad. I'm glad that you were born again. But then I see people who say, I'm born again, and they don't act like it. I met three non-Christians this week, and the reason that they don't follow Jesus is because they're looking at people that are following Jesus, and they don't measure up to their standards. And don't get me wrong, I try to put a pin in the air of that argument every time I hear it. But I read this verse over and over again. Except a man be born again. And I must confess, I was like Nicodemus. I didn't see how a man could enter his mother's womb a second time and be born again. And then one day I read this in another translation. And I started studying it. And instead of saying you must be born again, it said you must be born from above. And there before me, with the change of one word, I understood Christ's words with a new meaning. When a baby is born, that baby must be fed, must be nurtured to grow and to become an adult. So when we are born from above, we are like newborn infants in the faith, and we cannot grow to maturity without complete reliance on the Spirit of God. E. Stanley Jones was a great preacher, and he really has helped me to understand this. He says that there are five kingdoms representing different stages of being. There's the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the kingdom of man, and the kingdom of God. We are between of life, and they are born and live entirely from below. The story is told of a saloon keeper, and he sold his tavern to a church. And the enthusiastic church members moved right in there. They took out the bar. They added some lights. They painted the walls. They added some pews. And the day came when they opened for the first church service. But because of an oversight, there was a parrot that belonged to the former owner that was left behind. And he was up in the rafters as the first Sunday service started. So on Sunday morning, the wise old bird is watching what's happening. When the minister appears, he squawks, "New proprietor! New proprietor!" And when the choir and the worship team came in, he said, "New floor show! New floor show!" But when he looked out over the congregation, he was heard to exclaim, "But the same old crowd." Now that tale brings a smile, but when we stop to consider it, we can find some truth there. Many Christians today are so worldly that no difference can be seen between them and unbelievers. They are born from below. But then there are those persons who are born from above. They are more like God than they are the animals. They have found a thrill in something beside the lusts of the flesh. They find their lift for living not in bending their elbow, but in bending their knee. They are still human beings in that they live in the flesh, but they do not live for the flesh. You see their picture in the portrait of Christ, who was born from above, who came from above. And that is what it means to be born again. It's like the deep sea diver, the old time, not the ones that wear tanks. But remember the old deep sea divers? They had that long hose, and they would put it on their helmet, and then it was attached to the pump, and they would pump it, and they would pump the oxygen down little by little, to keep that person alive. Because what would happen if they stopped pumping? The person is dead. And so is the person who is born of the Spirit. From above comes the divine oxygen, which is the breath of life. Not only is being born again necessary, and not only is it possible, one more thing remains to be said. You will see the proof of this experience not by explaining the mystery of it, but by seeing the results of it. If you want to know if this has happened in someone's life, don't look at the roots, look at the fruits. I think Jesus and Nicodemus were outside. I think they were sitting on a bench and having a conversation. And all of a sudden, the breeze starts blowing. A soft breeze. As Jesus is speaking. He said, "Nicodemus, you see those leaves moving over there, wrestling in the breeze? Yes. What makes those leaves move? The wind. Well, where does the wind come from? I don't know. Where does the wind go from here? I can't say. Just so, says Jesus, the wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it. You see the leaves sway, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes." And then Jesus says, "So it is with the Spirit." So it is with the Spirit. You can't write a handbook on the Holy Spirit and say, he will come this way, or he will come this way and no other. The work of the Holy Spirit of God in the souls of people can't be mapped, can't be charted, can't be graphed. You know that God has visited a person when you see the footprints of God in that person's life. You need never be afraid of getting too much of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Don't worry about getting too much of those. I recall a story of a man that found himself one evening. He was in a train station, and he had a few hours on his hands. He was on his way home, and he had about 3 or 4 hours, and he thought about going to the movie theater. And then he remembered he was in the city of a friend of his father that his father had been longtime friends with. He had looking to see if there was anything of your father in you. And there is. And I've often thought about that. Jesus is saying, I'm looking to see if there's anything of your heavenly father in you. Because that which is born of spirit is spirit. He that is born from above will have something of the life that comes from above. He will not try to make the painting fit the room. He will change the room of his life to fit the painting of the Christian way of life. He will not try to fit the teachings of Jesus into an old shoe that they don't fit. He will get a new shoe. He will get a new life. And only Jesus is capable of giving you a new life. When I made this switch of understanding, I began to see it in a different way. Because you see, I think the church for a long time has done a good job of salvation. But the sanctification process, once we come into the kingdom, once we are born again, and we are born from above, once God begins to pipe the oxygen down to us, that's what it means. It means to grow and mature as a believer. It means not to stay a child in our thinking, not to stay a child in the way that we act, not to point to a time and say, well, I was born again. I was born again. That's why this word, anothen, it's the same word that is used one other time in the New Testament, and it is used to describe Jesus' tunic that he wore. It was woven seamlessly from top to bottom, anothen, from top to bottom. That's what it means. So what to be born again means, to be born from above, means that we are woven, we are created, we are made, we are remade from top to bottom by the truth of Almighty God making a difference in our hearts. We invite God into the room with the painting of the Christian way of life, and we say, what do you want me to change? You see, that's what Jesus came to do. He came to change Nicodemus. He came to change his heart. Not to put him back in his mother's womb again, but to be born from above so that the truth of Christ will transform us from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And then he goes on to say, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came as the light of the world. He came for you to be born above, from above. And he came to shine his light on you. Kind of like an audit. Kind of like a present day audit. Only God's come to audit our relationship with Him. God has come to shine the light and to show us where the painting doesn't fit the room. We have to change the room of our life to fit the painting in it. We need to be born from above, which is from the day of salvation when we are born again and Jesus mysteriously transforms us and changes us into the image of His Son. He begins that process. And as Ben said last week, He puts His righteousness in us. Not our righteousness. We have no righteousness. We don't even need to look for it. There's no righteousness that we have that's there. We already are new creations in Jesus Christ. What keeps us from being born from above is, and I've seen this so many times, is to say, I've been born again, thank you. I've already done it, thanks. And I think in the Christian church, we have limited God's effectiveness, and we have limited what God can do in each of our lives by making it a point. And that's just the point of departure from salvation to sanctification to glorification when we meet Christ in glory. So being born again, being born from above, is a necessary reality that is experienced when we surrender our lives to Christ. But it results in the Holy Spirit providing us with the equipment to be able to take the things of God and translate them into our lives so that they show up in the fruit that God desires to bring forth from our lives. And so we are called to be born again, in a process that brings glory to His name. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your presence with us. We are so grateful that Jesus said that if we are born of the Spirit, we can experience the depth of Your salvation and Your sanctification in our lives. Holy Spirit, as You examine us this morning, we invite You to shine the light, Your light, upon our hearts and upon our lives, that we might be able to see ourselves, and that You would help us discover whether there's anything of our Heavenly Father in us. And help us to discover if there isn't, in places that You desire, give us the grace to open ourselves to Your transforming power and Your transforming truth so that we can be born from above again and again and again and again, until we get to glory and we experience the fullness of Your life-transforming truth in our lives. May others experience the fruit of the work of Your Spirit in our hearts and lives. Take us and use us for Your glory. And for Your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.